This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
What did Trump know and when? Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, February 15, glad you're on board. Here's what's up this hour.
Reports say former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn was questioned by the FBI in January, shortly after the White House denied that he discussed sanctions with the Russian ambassador.
Sigh of relief in Northern California, where evacuation orders have been lifted for nearly 200,000 people living below the giant Lake Oroville Dam.
A new study says flag football can be more dangerous than tackle football. An expert explains the findings in about 25 minutes.
And how to extend your career if you'd like to keep working.
People who had made some sort of a late career job switch in their 50s actually were more apt to remain in the workforce. So if you were thinking that you want to work longer, whether that's because you need to or because you're thinking you really want to switch into some sort of an encore career, that's pretty good news.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on the key to a longer working life. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, a report this morning says federal agents questioned former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn in January, shortly after the White House denied he had talked about sanctions with a Russian official. The Wall Street Journal says the FBI interview came after the White House said Mr. Flynn did not discuss U.S. sanctions with Russia's ambassador to the U.S. The Journal says at that point, U.S. intelligence officials had already intercepted conversations proving they did discuss the sanctions. Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings is among the Democrats who want an investigation.
Who had the White House decided to do nothing for 3 weeks as Flynn sat in on meeting after meeting after meeting? Did the president decide to wait? Did counsel decide to wait?
Mr. Flynn, a retired Army Lieutenant General, stepped down Monday evening. It's not clear he did anything illegal, but of course it is a crime to lie to the FBI. The New York Times is reporting today that Trump aides and associates made repeated contact with Russian officials during the 2016 campaign, although they found new evidence they worked together to influence the election. The name reportedly at the top of the list to be the next National Security Advisor is a former Navy SEAL and retired three-star admiral named Bob Harward. He would replace General Mike Flynn. Mr. Harward is said to have been one of Defense Secretary Jim Mattis's most trusted colleagues while leading troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. We get more now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Multiple sources say Mr. Harward, a retired vice admiral, is the number one choice. He served as Mr. Mattis's deputy at U.S. Central Command during the secretary's career as a Marine Corps general. Mr. Harward retired from the Navy in 2013 and is currently chief executive of the Lockheed Martin operation in the United Arab Emirates. Meanwhile, his appointment would create an opportunity for Mr. Mattis to make inroads in a White House that so far has been dominated by aides from the campaign who have personal ties to President Trump. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 9 minutes now after the hour. Well, President Trump, for the first time, hosts Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House today. On the agenda, the war in Syria, the Iran nuclear agreement, and of course, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, including the building of settlements on occupied land by Israel, and if there will ever be a Palestinian state. During the election campaign, Mr. Trump was pro-Israel in his rhetoric, promising to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, but that message has been dialed back lately. Meanwhile, Mr. Netanyahu met with senior advisors in Washington yesterday to prepare for today's talks.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
Mr. Netanyahu is a conservative who has spent 11 years in power but never previously overlapped with a Republican U.S. president. He had a chilly relationship, to say the least, with former President Obama. 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Good Wednesday to you. For Democrats to block President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, they're going to need to keep senators like Robert Casey of Pennsylvania on their side. Republicans, as you know, control 52 seats in the Senate and are expected to need 60 votes to move Judge Neil Gorsuch's nomination forward. Alex Rogers, staff correspondent at National Journal, says that leaves Mr. Casey and a couple of others seeking re-election in a tough spot. Alex, tell us about his situation.
So he is he represents a swing state. He's up for re-election in 2018, and he's in a state that Donald Trump won. So he, as well as the senator from Florida and the senator from Michigan, there's three of them that outside groups are going to be looking at. They're going to be targeting them with a bunch of different ads, flyers, rallies, you name it, to try to get them on their side. It appears, though, that that Democrats, the feeling is that they're going to want to block this nominee. If you look at everything that they've been doing on other cabinet picks and on everything else they've done this year, that they're kind of gearing up for the Supreme Court fight, and it wouldn't be very surprising if they actually tried to block this nominee.
How much of a role does a Supreme Court nominee, and whether you as an elected official supported or did not support it, when it comes to the minds of voters?
So I think that in 2018, this will absolutely be a major point in all of these re-election campaigns. There are 10 Democrats who are up for re-election in 2018 in states that Donald Trump won, and Bob Casey is one of them. He hasn't said which way he's going to go on this yet, but he's repeated the line from Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, that Judge Gorsuch needs to get 60 votes. He thinks that should be basically a requirement. And it's clear that based upon looking at these outside groups that they think on both sides that he's a guy that they can kind of sway one way or the other.
All right. Who else besides Senator Casey in Pennsylvania could factor in here?
So Senator Bill Nelson, Florida, and Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan are also kind of in this same role. But Debbie Stabenow is a member of the Democratic leadership. You can kind of assume that if Chuck Schumer is going to go one way, that she'll also be with him there. And Senator Nelson has been around for a long time, so he's kind of an institutionalist. Senators on both sides of the aisle, in some ways don't want to filibuster this Supreme Court pick because it's extraordinary. It's rare. It doesn't usually happen. And Republicans, in response, if the Democrats do that, may just blow up the rules. And you could see in the future Supreme Court nominees being approved with only 51 votes, a simple majority, which could lead to more extreme judges. So the Senate's always seen itself as kind of the cooling saucer. The House is very active. It goes very fast and quickly. It doesn't deliberate as much time. The Senate does. And so, if you see a senator like Bill Nelson of Florida, someone who's been around for a while, still vote anyway to filibuster this pick, potentially forcing McConnell's hand to change the rules in order to confirm him, I mean, that's a pretty extraordinary step. It would change the form and function of the Senate to change the rules, allowing it for these nominees to be confirmed with only a simple majority. It really would change how things happen for decades to come.
Yeah. We're speaking with Alex Rogers, staff correspondent at National Journal. He's written a piece called Why Casey Could Be Key to the Supreme Court Fight, a reference to Pennsylvania Senator Robert Casey. So ads have been flooding in, I guess, right, some of these for some of these candidates and voters in those states?
That's right. So I talked to Gary Marks, a senior advisor to the Conservative Judicial Crisis Network. He told me that he's examining Senator Casey's moves closely, trying to parse the different words in the statement that he's been sending out to the press. They have $10 million in the bank in preparation for this fight. And they've already planned, I think, $3 million of that. So they're really kind of holding all this money above some of these senators' heads, saying, if you vote against us or if you indicate that you're going to, we're going to come after you. So there's already a bunch of maneuvering behind the scenes, trying to figure out which senators to target, which ads to already buy in different places, I think that if Senator Casey decides to join fellow Democrats in filibustering this pick, we don't know if that's actually going to happen yet. But if he does, and if the Democrats do decide to do that, he can expect ads going against him in his reelection race.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Rogers, staff correspondent at National Journal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, just 6 days into his presidency, Donald Trump was informed his national security advisor had misled the vice president about contacts with Russia. White House officials say Trump kept his number two in the dark and waited nearly 3 weeks before ousting the aide, Michael Flynn, citing a slow but steady erosion of trust. Republican Roy Blunt of Missouri, a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, told KTRS Radio it's time to find out who knew what when.
What did he know? What did he do? And is there any reason to believe that anybody else knew that and didn't take the kind of action they should have taken?
Flynn was interviewed by the FBI last month about his phone conversations with Russia's ambassador to the U.S. A sign his ties to Russia had caught the attention of law enforcement officials. But in the White House's retelling of Flynn's downfall, his error was not that he discussed U.S. sanctions with the Russian before the inauguration, but the fact that he denied it for weeks. The Trump administration says peace between the Israelis and Palestinians may not come in the form of a two-state solution. For decades, the U.S. position has been that Israelis and Palestinians must work through direct negotiations to establish two states living side by side with Palestinians to ultimately create an independent state. A secret witness who fears for his life is expected to testify today against New York real estate heir Robert Durst in a California murder case. The testimony will be recorded on video and would only be used if something happens to him and he can't testify during a potential trial. Prosecutors contend Durst killed his best friend Susan Berman in 2000 because he thought she was going to talk to police about the 1982 disappearance of his wife, Kathy Durst, who was never found. And the FAA is looking into what could have been a major incident involving Harrison Ford's private plane and a commercial jetliner near California's John Wayne Airport. Ford had been instructed to land on a certain runway, but mistakenly aimed for a taxiway instead. His aircraft passed over an American Airlines jet loaded with 110 passengers, which was holding for takeoff. The American flight managed to depart safely moments later.
Yikes.
Yes, and Harrison Ford, remember, had that terrible accident just a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
He's a very experienced pilot, they're saying, but yikes.
Yeah. What kind of experience, I guess, is the question. He said something like to the tower, like, is that plane supposed to be there or something like that?
Yeah, yikes.
Oh, man. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Want to stay working later into your career, either because you love it or need to? Consider this. New research says workers who voluntarily change jobs in their 50s tend to stay in the workforce longer than those who stick with their initial job. Here's more from Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. Kelly, give us some findings.
People who had made some sort of a late career job switch in their 50s actually were more apt to remain in the workforce. So if you were thinking that you want to work longer, whether that's because you need to or because you're thinking you really want to switch into some sort of an encore career, that's pretty good news.
Wow. All right. So are these folks who generally left on their own or pushed out the door or a combination?
That is the key, is how you left. And this is, we're talking about voluntary job switches. If you opted to switch jobs, switch careers, you know, this is really where they see the benefit.
How about that? So you said in the story, too, the current market for those considering a leap is pretty good. How come?
Well, you know, we do, of course, hear a lot about age discrimination, as you mentioned before. So, you know, this is people who have been pushed out. There is always a risk if you're leaving a steady job for something else that you might have a harder time finding a job or staying in it. But what we hear from folks who do, basically it's outplacement, they're helping match up openings with willing job seekers, they say that this is a really good time to be making a leap like that because unemployment is low, meaning businesses are really, they're looking for workers, they're competing if they've got an opening to fill, and that there are more flexible positions that are popping up. So if you wanted to ease into retirement and do something part-time or you were thinking about consulting, you're more apt to find a job that offers you that flexibility these days.
I'm playing junior psychologist here, but I'm guessing that if you leave on your own and you're in your 50s, like, you probably still have a lot of energy to contribute to another job, and maybe that's why you stick around longer?
Definitely. You know, I mean, and this is, it's invigorating, it's new challenges. You know, a lot of cases, if you're in the same job for a lot of years, you know, it's when they looked at the numbers and they were seeing, you know, you're more apt to retire early if you've got something like a pension and you were really tied into a particular workplace, if you had health problems, anything else that sort of forced you out earlier, in a lot of cases, switching, giving yourself a new challenge, something that's less stressful is a common theme there, this ability to work for yourself, you know, maybe that gives you the energy and the happiness to be able to stick this out a little longer.
Mm. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Her piece is called Leaving Your Job Can Lead to a Longer Career, especially if you leave in your 50s. So just clarify, are we talking about an actual career change here or just maybe same gig but new employer, same line of work?
They looked at both. So this is, you know, really we are kind of running the gamut. But for a lot of folks, if you are looking for something that's, you know, less stressful, more flexible hours, you know, that might entail a little bit of a shift career-wise from what it is that you're doing.
Nice, Kelly. Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Looking for the perfect wine to bring to a party or have for a nice dinner at home? Cameron Hughes always delivers. You'll be happy with the selection for sure, and your friends will be impressed. Cameron Hughes has relationships with high-end wineries all over the world, where he sources his wine from their extra bottles and sells it directly to you for much less than you'd pay under other labels. His wines deliver on price, value, and quality. If you're unhappy with any bottle you buy from him, he'll make it right. Now, Cameron Hughes doesn't typically offer discounts because his prices are so much less than retail. But for my listeners, he has a fantastic deal on your first order of three or more bottles. Free shipping on that order, plus a free sommelier-grade corkscrew. It's a great way to try wines that are already up to 50% off. It's a no-brainer to try Cameron Hughes wine, only if you go to chwine.com and use my code DEAL at checkout. You have to go to chwine.com, chwine.com, shop for your wine, enter my code DEAL at checkout. Don't wait. It's a limited-time offer and won't last.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Wednesday, February 15, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. New York Times says Trump associates had contact with Russian officials during the presidential campaign. A former Navy SEAL is said to be the next national security advisor. Big insurance company Humana is pulling out of Obamacare. Former Saints receiver Robert Meacham made $20 million during his career, but is going to jail because he owes $400,000 in child support. First place Canadians fire their coach. And last names that cause computer chaos. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, how about this? A new study finds flag football is more dangerous to children than tackle football. Researchers at the University of Iowa and the University of Kentucky found injuries are more likely to occur in flag football, but the number of severe injuries and concussions were not significantly different when comparing flag and tackle football leagues. So what gives? We're joined now by Dr. Brandon Brock with Cerebrum Health Centers, with facilities in Dallas and Atlanta. He's with us live this morning. Morning, Dr. Brock. How is this possible?
Good question. Maybe they don't have as much padding on, or you know, certain body parts that are usually injured are not as exposed. That would probably just a thought that I would have without having seen the data of the study. And that's the raw data is what I mean, you know, because doing a secondary analysis on it would be very interesting to see what we found. But, you know, maybe they just don't have as many pads on and they bump into each other. And I guess they count a bruise as an injury or something like that. You never know. But it is very interesting.
Yeah, not for nothing, but I mean, really only head injuries should count in a study like this. No, I mean, that's the focus of football, at least these days.
Well, I mean, it should be. And, you know, when you don't have a helmet on, maybe you get a head knock and you bump each other's heads. And so there's definitely room for concussion. There is no doubt about that. But we know that helmets don't do a lot to stop concussions either, so it wouldn't surprise me if there was concussion in both sports.
All right, here's one of the lines from this study, too. It says, while concussion injuries and deaths of young players make headlines, researchers say the larger danger is repeated subconcussive hits that linemen absorb on play after play. That's like those slaps to the head, I guess, that we often see at the higher levels of the game.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think those are devastating because they're very subtle. They don't, you know, knock you out where everybody says, hey, man, you got to step out of the game for a little bit. it just kind of daze you a little bit, and you just keep going. And when you accumulate those, it creates big, big problems.
But this kind of the headline of the whole story, though, is just puzzling to me that flag football is more dangerous to children than tackle football. I mean, doesn't that seem to defy common sense?
Yeah, well, you know, I really worry about a lot of the propaganda research that comes out right now, because the NFL is under so much heat, and there's so many people that are encouraged to do research that shows, hey, look, this is as bad as this, so don't worry about this anymore. I mean, I really, it's one of those things where until there's multiple studies that come out and reproduce the results, I really don't put much credence in it.
I remember talking to Troy Aikman one time. We were talking about concussions in the NFL, and he said to me, you want to stop concussions and these severe head injuries? Go back to those old leather helmets.
That's what I've been saying. I've been saying take helmets off.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe a little bit of protection so that, you know, you don't get slapped around a little bit. But, I mean, it's, you know, people don't want to hurt their pretty face and stuff like that. And Troy's right. You know, Troy had a pretty face. Still does, I guess, you know. But, I mean, you don't want to go around and get all scratched and banged up and break your nose and bust your lips and knock out your teeth. So you just quit using your head to play the game. And right now they do.
I think rugby doesn't have the same issues, I don't think, that the NFL does, right? Those guys wear no padding.
No, they don't. And the difference between rugby players and American flag football players is rugby players have been trained professionally. Not, you know, look, don't use your head unless you want to really get hurt.
Right, right.
Flag football is usually just off-season, it's usually off-season kind of play or, you know, club play. But everybody's played tackle, and half the time they end up tackling, and half the time they don't break, you know, they do break the rules. And if something does go wrong, you do have no protection.
We're speaking with Dr. Brandon Brock with Cerebrum Health Centers. Researchers did find, however, let me read this, that the number of injuries in youth football is still relatively low, whether the child is playing tackle or flag. It's probably true that it's more of a risk to actually drive and get in the car to go to a football game or practice than it is to actually play in the game.
Yeah, you know, look, those kids, they don't run that fast, and they don't hit that hard. I mean, it's sheer physics at that point in time. You know, they do have head injuries, but when you get older and more competitive, and those kids can run, and then when you get to the professional level, it's just straight up dangerous to even walk on the field.
Yeah. Still better, though, to play football, right, than sit on the couch and play video games, I guess.
Hey, man, in Texas, everybody plays football. The dog, the cat, you know, mom, grandma, everybody plays football. So.
Very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes this morning. Nice talking to you. Dr. Brandon Brock with Cerebrum Health Centers, facilities in Dallas and Atlanta. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Good Wednesday to you. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we've certainly heard plenty in recent weeks about a potential border wall along the Mexico border. Whoever is in charge of designing that wall might need to plan on making it a little bit higher after hearing this story. According to USA Today, U.S. Border Patrol agents recently discovered a catapult used to throw bundles of marijuana over the Arizona-Mexico border. While patrolling an area near the Douglas port of entry on February 10th, agents saw several people quickly retreating from the fence as they were approached. When the agents arrived, they searched the area and located two bundles of marijuana weighing more than 47 pounds combined, as well as a catapult system attached to the Mexico side of the border fence. Mexican law enforcement authorities responded to the area and seized the catapult system, which was later dismantled. Now, if they found...
I'm speechless.
Now, if they found one, do you think there might be some more?
Yeah.
Someplace. This probably isn't the last we've heard of the catapulting marijuana.
Could you imagine? Incoming!
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and imagine getting, you know, hopefully there's nobody on the U.S. side of the fence and gets hit in the head with something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
20 pounds of pot hitting in the side of the head.
Like a modified street football game. Go deep!
Yeah.
And we just launch the marijuana and you're responsible for catching it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonder how far I can actually throw it. That's just fascinating.
Yeah.
That's that old theory, like you build a 50-foot wall, somebody's going to come up with a 51-foot ladder.
Right.
Right, one of those type
right,
things.
Right, 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 exactly. Might need to go just a little bit higher. But again, then, like you said, they'll just build a bigger catapult,
yeah,
right?
Now we need like some sort of aerial defense system, you
right.
know, to shoot down launched marijuana
right.
bundles or whatever.
Right. That's going to be next.
Just immediately like ignites them in flames somehow.
If the president is listening, I think we might hear about that today.
Unbelievable.
We'll see.
I hope video services of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is...
yeah, that'd be
hilarious.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be something for like Bill Nye the Science Guy or something,
right.
something like that.
That's
like
right.
Here, we're applying science to everyday projects.
Right, right.
And we've known for some time, Gordon, that we're becoming an increasingly on-the-go society, so much so that we can't even park the car to pay our final respects anymore. UPI reports that a Tennessee funeral home is drawing in bereaved customers by offering an unusual service, drive-through viewings. Ryan Bernard, who opened the R. Bernard Funeral Home in Memphis with his family at the end of January, said the service is designed to be more convenient for families who are already facing the burden of losing a loved one. Bernard says the drive-through viewings are offered for no extra charge to families who purchase a funeral package. He says that guests pull up to the window where they sign in on an iPad and then receive up to 3 minutes of viewing time. He says four families have used the drive-through option so far, and all of the feedback has been positive.
You're actually viewing it on the iPad?
No, I think...
Or somehow, like, through the window, you can see the coffin? That is strange.
Yeah, I guess... I would have to say... It would have to be, I guess, through the window. Yeah, I can't imagine you're actually looking on the iPad, but that does bear some investigating to see how you're actually doing that. But he said, I guess, you know, one of the fears people have, and rightly so, a lot of people just don't like to go inside funeral homes.
Okay.
So it feels like this way it kind of draws in maybe the more, maybe not a close family member necessarily, but maybe a distant acquaintance who wants to pay their respects but doesn't want to go inside.
Well, it strikes me that if you're making the effort to go to a funeral and to see a viewing. You want to shake somebody's hand, though, or give a hug. This seems to kind of remove all that.
Yeah, not everybody's as social as you, I guess, perhaps. And, again, they might just want to, do a quick drive-by.
But again, too, you don't have to always go and look at the body.
Yeah, right.
You can just go and sit in the back,
right.
Pay respects. I know.
It sounds weird to me, too.
Seems a little chilly. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Transition seamlessly from presentation to meeting and from work to home with the Dell Latitude 13 7000 series, the laptop that takes care of business. The powerful performance and incredible battery life from this reliable business-class PC featuring Intel Core processors lets small business employees do their best work wherever work takes them. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Kashenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the New York Times is reporting that U.S. agencies intercepted phone calls last year between Russian intelligence officials and members of Donald Trump's 2016 campaign team. The Times reports the Russians made contact with Paul Manafort, who briefly served as Trump's campaign chairman, and Mike Flynn, who was ousted as national security advisor. Some members of Congress, including Congressman Elijah Cummings of Maryland, want answers.
Why did Flynn continue to sit in on the most sensitive classified meetings until just 2 days ago?
White House spokesman Sean Spicer says President Trump was told 3 weeks ago that Flynn had misled Vice President Pence about his conversations with Russia's ambassador during the transition. Spicer says Flynn's removal was prompted by a gradual erosion of trust rather than any concerns that he acted illegally. For Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, the next few days will be a reassurance tour with a twist. As much as he'll tell allies the U.S. is committed to NATO, he is also expected to visit Europe with a handout, hoping to secure bigger defense spending commitments and greater assistance in military campaigns in Afghanistan and elsewhere. A man accused of buying high-powered rifles used in the San Bernardino terror attack has agreed to plead guilty to federal criminal charges. Enrique Marquez Jr. has agreed to plead guilty to conspiring to provide material support to terrorists. Nearly 38 years after Eitan Pates disappeared, a Manhattan jury determined that the 6-year-old was kidnapped and murdered by a stock clerk in a Soho bodega. The jury reached that conclusion yesterday in the second trial of Pedro Hernandez, who was charged with killing the first grader. Stan Pates is Eitan's father.
I needed to know what happened to my son, and this great prosecution team finally proved it.
The verdict ends a mystery that has haunted New Yorkers since the child disappeared in 1979 while walking to his school bus stop. His body was never found. Flying is getting a bit better. Airlines canceled fewer flights in 2016 than any year on record, while also posting record low numbers for lost bags and passengers getting bumped off oversold flights. Airlines also had one of their best years for on-time arrivals.
That'll make me change my mood a little bit next time I'm flying. Feel better about things.
A lot of this, of course, has to do with the weather. So this could change any time. But the lost bag things, that's good news.
That is good. Thanks, Jen. 5 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. The digital revolution has been tough for people with a last name that some computers consider too good to be true. The Wall Street Journal has some examples of people with a surname that trips up computers. A guy named James Test said that while booking a trip from Sacramento to Tucson, his American Airlines reservations were repeatedly canceled because the booking would last only long enough to process his credit card, then fade to just a test. Avery Blank, an attorney in Philadelphia, said she almost missed out on an internship during law school because someone in the office of a Baltimore City official assumed her email was spam. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave a review and comment for us on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.